Welcome, Bob.
Hey, guys. We've had church today. Amen. I want to say wherever Cindy went, mercy me. Amen. Whew. Mercy me. And seriously, I just want us to stop and think for a second. About all the ways that we fill this room with our experiences. And as we bring our experiences together, we mix them together, and there is great joy some days, and there's great sorrow other days. And yet it is in the bringing together of all of that that we become a family who loves each other. And that's, again, what's happened here today just from the sharing of mercy me, mercy me. We're talking about the armor of God. And today, as we're talking about the armor, we're going to talk about the shield of faith, the shield of faith. And we've talked about other parts, and we'll kind of review those in a minute. But the reason we're suiting up with this armor from Ephesians 6 is because we're under attack. We've got an enemy, and our enemy hates us. And he's doing everything possible to take us down. And so that happens in a variety of different ways, but what we need is spiritual armor, because our enemy is not flesh and blood. And we've hit this point every time, but it's important to know, because we wake up often with a world of other enemies. Sometimes we think it's each other. Sometimes we think it's the government or our boss or some other person. Or some disease even, but and sometimes it is. Those things are used by our enemy to bring us down, but our enemy's not flesh and blood. And so we're going to talk today about the shield already. We're going to talk about putting on the whole armor, the full armor, so that we can stand our ground. And we've talked about the belt of truth, keeps our pants up. It's kind of a joke there. The breastplate of righteousness, or another way to understand that word righteousness is justice. We talked about that. And last week we talked about the boots of the gospel of peace, the war shoes that can dig in and give us a firm foundation. And today we're going to talk about the shield of faith. Again, all coming from Ephesians chapter 6. And the shield of faith, Paul's taking all of this metaphor, all of this comparison to armor from the Roman soldiers of his day. So he's talking about how they suit up. They suit up differently than soldiers do today, because their weapons they were fighting against were different than the weapons we're fighting with today. So we talked about breastplate being a bulletproof vest. Well, they didn't need bulletproof vest. They needed a breastplate. They needed a shield. And the shield they had several different types of shields, actually. And so the shield he has in mind, most likely, was this kind of shield that looked kind of like this. And this is one of the pictures of it, and it's a shield that's about 3.5 or 4 feet tall, even. It's not. They had another kind of shield that was a circle, that they kind of wear it on their arm when they were more in attack mode, or into hand-to-hand combat mode. But this is when they're in a line of soldiers and they all have a shield that's about 4 feet tall, and they can kind of plant that sucker and get behind it. And it's sometimes as much as 3 feet wide. And so, and it's curved. And it's curved because it's going to, arrows are going to hit it, and the curve makes them bounce off, okay? And sometimes if you'd line up all these wall, these shields side by side by side by side by side, it presents a wall. And then sometimes, because arrows are coming at it, the row behind this group of soldiers whose shields are like a wall, others will put them in a slant above them. And both guys hiding behind the wall, the shield on the ground, and the shield that's at a slant. And here comes the arrows. And the arrows are knocked away. So what happens is the shield becomes a portable wall where you're moving around from place to place to place. And you'll go forward against an enemy, and your enemy is going to attack you with arrows, and they're going to protect you. The wall is going to protect you. And the shield in Ephesians says what's happening is our enemy is going to attack us, and he says with flaming arrows from the evil one. That's what Ephesians 6 says. The enemy is going to use flaming arrows. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever seen flaming arrows, but when I was a sophomore in college, there was this little tit-for-tat thing going on between Maybe Dorm and Edwards Dorm. I was in Maybe Dorm, and where most of the athletes lived. And we were kind of having this water balloon fight. And it was kind of cool, a water balloon fight, and calm. But then one of our guys, who lived in our dorm, got a little bucket, put some kindling and some wood in it, started a fire, and started firing flaming arrows at Edwards Dorm. Oh, yeah. Later, that guy went on to be a boxer and fought actually for the world championship. His name was Randall Cobb. Took the other name as Tex Cobb. One of the smartest persons I really ever knew, but kind of a little bit like crazy, too crazy, kind of smart crazy. But I actually saw this flaming arrow gig, and it was wild. And then the police came, and everything was, you know, everybody took a run. Flaming arrows. The flaming arrows that come to us aren't really that bow and arrow flame that's coming in going to burn our house down. But these come in many forms. And it's the shield, like I said, like Paul says, the shield of faith that's coming. These are the things that happen. We just listened to that incredible intro by Bart Millard to his song, Even If. And our lives often reflect a lot of flaming arrow wounds. We have wounds from the flaming arrows. They've hit us. In our group here today, I would say most of us, and we've already done the hand raise already today, about pain. And we know pain. And sometimes that pain is physical, because we in our audience, in our church, we know what chronic illness is. He was describing chronic illness. We live with chronic illness in our building right now. But that's not the only kind of pain. There is emotional pain and psychological pain, and we've discovered that, and some of it doesn't go away. I still this morning took my little pink antidepressant pill because I know if I don't, later in the day or tomorrow, things are not going to be well for me. Or you, if you're around me. We know what chronic pain is. And then there's death. And we have experienced that. And sometimes that death, we can understand that there is a joy in that death, but there is still a pain for us in that death of one we love. Some of us have experienced some fear in death. But even more, it's that pain, it's the wound, it's the arrow, it's the flaming arrow, and maybe it's disappointment. Life is not turning out like you thought it was. I'm 65 years old, and I promise you, I never imagined I would be at the point I am in my life right now. I never imagined this. I never imagined myself a divorced person. I never imagined that. And that's disappointing because that's not the dream I dreamed. And many of us have experienced failure that leads to disappointment. It's a flaming arrow. And then there's this idea of loss, things that were ours and now we have them no more. And these wounds leave this crippling, these arrows leave a crippling wound, and it's doubt. Now, let me say this. We're going to talk about faith, and there is no such thing as faith without doubt. Doubt in itself is not bad. It's something we're going to live with. There's no need for faith unless there's doubt. But some doubt is crippling. It freezes us. It causes us to be fearful. It's not just doubt, it's fear. Some of the things we're left with, the wound, is these questions. Does God love me? Because I'm experiencing life, and you know, it don't seem like it. Does God love me? And so this is an attack on my heart, and what I need is a shield that will block that attack, and that shield is faith. The question, does God love me, is a faith question. It's about what do you believe? Do you believe God loves you? It's not just about your experience, because many of us are going to have an experience that we would say, the evidence would say, no, God's not loving me right now. This is exactly what the even if video was about. It doesn't feel like love right now. Can I trust God? Can I trust Him? Can I really have faith in Him? Is He who He says He is? Because God's made some claims. And we've come to doubt some of those claims because it doesn't seem like it's happening. Is He going to heal me? Is He going to heal me of my brokenness? You know, the song we sing, Blessed Be Your Name, it's a song about a beatdown. Life is a beatdown. But even in the desert place, on the road marked with suffering, we've been in those places. And what's happening is an attack on our soul, on our relationship with God, and the defense for this attack is faith. Can I trust God is the question. I answer with faith. I don't answer with knowledge. Sometimes my experiences, they support that, but sometimes they don't. So in the good days and in the bad days, I answer the question, does God love me? Can I trust Him? Is He who He says He is? I answer that question with faith. I trust. Now, the thing is, there's more questions and there's more doubt because His ways are hard sometimes. And sometimes they don't make sense. I don't know if I can trust a God when some of the things He asked me to do are so stinking hard. Like, forgive people who've hurt me. I don't want to forgive some of them. No, I don't want to do that. His ways are hard. I don't want to do that. He asked me to be generous. I don't all the time want to be generous. Sometimes I want to eat my hamburger myself. I don't want to have to share it with you or anybody else. I need my stuff. My stuff needs to come first. I'll be generous if I have anything left over. That's not His plan. It's not His plan. So sometimes His ways don't make sense. He wants me to be honest all the time that my yes is yes and my no is no, but that's not the way the world works. And I've got to, after all, I live in a world. I've got to do business with the world all the time. I got to, you know, church is one thing, but life is another thing. Sometimes He doesn't make sense. He asked me to turn the other cheek. That ain't the way the world works. I got to be stronger than you. And the way I'm going to keep from getting hit is because you're afraid that if I hit you, I'll knock you down. That's the way the world works. He says, turn, that don't make sense. Here's one. God wants me to forgive myself. That's hard. Sometimes impossible. Sometimes God wants me to trust that his sacrifice for me is enough. That's hard. Sometimes it's hard to trust him. So what is it to live by faith, to have this shield against these arrows that are coming? Well, first of all, you got to know this. Can you see it? Can you see it? He says that if your faith is just small, it's enough. Okay, you don't have to be the giant faith. Just all you need is a little baby faith. Take a little baby faith step. Just take a little bit and begin to live by that little. And he loves you. Trust that one thing. First of all, trust that one thing. God loves you. Sometimes that's a big thing. Trust that one thing. Living by faith is taking God at his word and acting on it even when it doesn't make sense. Now, there's an assumption in this statement. And the assumption is, you know what his word is. You know, you can't take God at his word if you don't know what his word is. So, first of all, we got to get into that word. And he has sometimes pretty specific instructions. Like, for instance, this idea about being generous. He says in the book, in 1 John, he'll say, if you see somebody who has something and they have a need and you have what they need, share it. Straight up, it's easy. Might not be easy to do, but it's easy to understand. But you've got to know that. You've got to have read that word. You've got to meditate on that word. Try to understand what that word says. Because you can't live it if you don't know it. And so I trust God enough, and I trust his ways to do what he says, but I got to know his ways, that he's instructed you. Now, in the Bible, there's this famous faith chapter. And the one thing in common about it is a list of people. And I could go around this room and say, I know that by faith you've done these things. But in this chapter, it starts out with Cain and Abel, but I'm going to start out with Noah. And everybody says it's a person names, and this is by faith, then they did something. So by faith, what do you think Noah did? He built a boat. Never seen a boat before. It had never rained, but he built a boat. Because God said, build a boat. He built a boat. By faith. You see, this is what faith looks like. You can tell faith, you can tell what it looks like. It looks like somebody doing things. That's what faith looks like. Okay, then Abraham, by faith, he got up and moved to a place he didn't know where it was. He didn't know where he was going. I don't know where I'm going most of the time, but it's not necessarily because God has told me to go. I'm just lost, okay? That's a little different. But he said, I want you to go to a different place. I want you to leave your family behind. Take who will go with you, but you're going to leave your roots behind. I've lived in Abilene, Texas for way too long. God has said go several times. I'm not sure that's really God. Have you ever done that? I don't know. That maybe not God. Then Abel said by faith he was going to sacrifice his son. He said, not only do I want you to leave your parents, your family, I want you to let go of your kids. Because you trust me more. Then Moses, he says, by faith, Moses did that, that, that. And what Moses did is what he didn't do. By faith, what Moses did not do was take advantage of having all the wealth and power he could have. He said no to wealth and power by faith. He's doing things by faith. And so what I want you to get from this shield of faith is an active faith. It's a faith that we have action that's based on our trust in God, that God is going to do what he says and that his ways are trustworthy, that you can trust the direction. You can trust the way he has told you to go. Now, this is important because this borders on being like a list of rules. And there is a list, but the shield is not just obedient allegiance to a list of rules. It's not. The list does exist, but that's not what faith is. Here is the rule: love God, love your neighbor. That's the list. Now, there's an explanation of how to do that list, but that's the list: love God, love your neighbor. But that's not a rule. That's like a demonstration. Do you trust God? Then he says, okay, love him and love your neighbor. This is it's a demonstration of my trust. When I was a dad of a young boys, now my boys are 39 and 40, and yet I think they'd still do this. Well, at least the one who did it. We had a little kind of a cabana kind of thing in my parents' backyard, and my 3-year-old son was on top of it because he liked to climb. Okay? And there's this moment where he's now has to get down off of this, and it's about 8 foot tall. 8 feet off the ground. And he is 8 feet off the ground, and I say to him, jump, I'll catch you. Okay? That's faith. Faith wasn't in his brain just think, you know, I trust you, Dad. You probably do got this, but I ain't going to jump. That's not faith. Faith is when he actually jumps. I caught him that time. Since then, he's trusted me in a lot more things. This is our God. You maybe have a little bitty faith. He just wants you to take that one step. What is that? That one step. We've sung some powerful songs today, and they all go back to that idea of, do we really believe God is who he says he is? And that he does love us, and he will deliver. And yet, the song that Cindy played for us, Even If, is the name of the song. And the name of the song comes from the story in Daniel chapter 3. And it's the story of the three boys. Here's the thing about the three boys: Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. The three boys, they knew God's word. This is really part where it starts. They didn't have the faith about being thrown into the fire just for no reason. They had that faith because they knew God's word. And where it started was, what should they eat? Something really small. They're going to eat differently than the people around them. I think we might ought to think about that. How we spend ourselves, we might ought to do it differently than the people around us. Just because everybody else is doing something doesn't mean we should do it. These are the boys. There was something simple like eating. And then they said, I'm not going to worship that other god. And so they said, well, you're going to die. And they said this: we know God can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're still going to trust him. Even if he doesn't. This is where we are today. We have faith choices in our lives where God's word is saying one thing and the rest of our world, the rest of our culture, it's saying another thing. And what we're doing is making that decision. Do we trust him? Do we trust him? Do we trust him enough to act? And we trust him that he will rescue us. But even if he doesn't, we're going to trust him. We're going to sing this song about things we believe. It's a great song for closing today. It's a great song also to sing as we think about Easter, what's coming up next Sunday, but what's coming up every day in our lives, because Jesus is alive every day in our life. His resurrection is powerful. It's powerful today. But this is a song we're going to sing about what we believe. And after this song, we'll be dismissed. But I want us to all stand, be ready, and let's sing.